This notion that presidents should come into office on day one and sign a bunch of executive orders saying, I declare as king that eggs shall be $2 a dozen, is kind of ridiculous, and I'm glad that President Trump didn't do that. I think the things that you're seeing in terms of making energy less expensive, making the federal government work better, ultimately, if they don't bring prices down, Trump will face political backlash for it. But I think this idea that on day one, a president is supposed to sign a bunch of executive orders when Barack Obama never really did, George W. Bush never really did, right. Trump's first term never really did. It's an unusual way to go about policymaking.
There's a CNN expert talking about the price of eggs, which now apparently they only care about being high since Trump has been the president for a week. It's pretty unbelievable. Let's talk to our friend Steve Moore about it. He knows everything economics. He's a distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation and a Trump economic advisor. Steve, welcome back to the show. We're glad to have you.
Hi, Annie. Boy, my head is still spinning around from that amazing first week. By the way, it's amazing, isn't it? It was exactly a week ago, almost to this hour that Donald Trump took the oath of office. It seems like it's been a lot more than that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Given what's happened in the last 7 days. But I wanted to say something about this issue. But by the way, I'm amazed at what this man does. I've gotten to know him, you know, very well personally and spent time around him. The guy's indefatigable. He just does not stop. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He keeps going and going and going and going. And remember last week, you know, he gets up at, 5 o'clock in the morning, goes to the prayer breakfast. Then he meets for tea in the White House with Joe Biden. And then he has the big lunch. And then he has the swearing in on the Capitol with all the, you know, millions of people watching, and then he starts signing executive orders, and then he goes and does, you know, he has all the balls and all that stuff and all the parties to go to, and then he has, you know, they had that big thing in the arena, you know, that because they couldn't, and then at 1 o'clock in the morning he's still signing executive orders. It's like he's been up for 20 hours.
Yes.
I mean, it's really an amazing thing. But on this issue that you were talking about prices, I want to make sure people understand this. We're not going to overall cut prices. In fact, we don't want to. Deflation can be even more harmful to an economy than inflation. What we want to do is stabilize prices so they don't keep going up. You see what I'm saying? So we might see a reduction in gas prices as we produce more oil. And I think we could get the price of oil down to $2.50 a gallon because Trump is going to produce a lot of energy. And maybe food price, eggs prices will probably come down as well. But the point is, what you want in a good monetary system is just stability in prices. And so that's what I think. I mean, we're going to bring that inflation rate back down to 1% or 2%. Remember, it went to 9.1% under Biden in 1 year.
Yeah, you know, and I think that what Americans want is a whole lot of things. Lower prices or affordable prices is certainly one of those things. Border security. We've seen President Trump that he's making good on his commitment there to secure the border.
Sure.
And, you know, this whole package deal that comes with this new administration. But still, 1 week into this, his presidency, he has delivered on so much that he committed to the American voter.
It's amazing. It really is. And he doesn't stop. And how about his big coup with Colombia, where he said, you know, if you're not going to take these, you know, migrants back, you know, we're going to hit you with 25% tariff. And about 30 minutes later, they said, OK, we'll take the migrants back. So he's an expert negotiator. By the way, I don't agree with everything that he's done. I agree with about 80% of it. I mean, but, you know, I thought, incidentally, I want to just tell you, because I have some friends that went through this, because, you know, I live in the swamp and I live near the Capitol. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people who were unjustly in prison. On January 6th. Now, I do believe those who went in the Capitol and anyone who did anything to assault the police, they should be, you know, they should have gone to jail for sure. But there were a lot of hundreds and hundreds of innocent people who were just out there exercising their First Amendment rights. And what they went through was hell. Was hell with the FBI going after them and putting them in jail, sometimes solitary confinement. So I am so, so pleased, because I have friends that just went through horrible, horrible times that are now freed thanks to Donald Trump, and they never should have been arrested in the first place. So, you know, those kinds of things. I mean, I'll give you an example of one I really like. You know, it's just this patriotic thing. But from now on, at all of our embassies and all our government buildings and so on, there will only be one flag. It will be the American flag. We're not going to have the Palestinian flag. We're not going to have the LGBTQ flag. We're not going to have the Pride flag. And we're not going to have, you know, the Black Lives Matter flag. It's going to be the United States of America and the Stars and Stripes. And I love that one.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think that his vision is definitely being implemented the way he committed to the voter. I know I don't have a lot of your time, but I did want to ask you this one question about the Trump tax cuts. Trump is committed to making sure that they get extended. What's at stake for the American taxpayer right now on whether or not Congress and the president can come together and get that big, beautiful bill done?
Well, it's one big, beautiful bill. It's going to be a dogfight. You know, the Republicans only have a 2-seat majority out of 435 in the House. So that means they can only lose one or two Republicans. So you've got a lot of Republicans say, well, I want this and I want that, you know, and so it's going to be difficult. But I think we are going to get that done. Trump has asked us, my group, to sort of lead the outside effort to get this done in terms of taxpayer groups and business groups all lobbying to get it done. And I just want to make sure that your listeners know, I know you know this, yeah, because we've talked about it. Doing nothing is not an option, because if we do nothing, then taxes are going to go up on the average family by about $3,000 next year, because all the Trump tax cuts will expire. So it's really critical we get this done. I'm spending, you know, not 20 hours a day, but I'm spending, you know, 10 hours a day trying to make sure that happens. And I do believe we can get it done by Memorial Day.
Well, we're going to continue to get updates from you as we march towards that big, beautiful bill, whatever the president is able to do. Thank you for being our expert on this. We always appreciate you, Steve.
Thank you, Annie. Take care.
You as well. Bye-bye. Steve Moore, the Distinguished Fellow in Economics at the Heritage Foundation, a Trump economic advisor. To me, the Trump tax cuts getting extended is not as exciting as it really should be, because when Donald Trump implemented these tax cuts, I certainly felt the benefit of it. We just need him to continue them. So it's like action is required for status quo, as opposed to, oh, we're going to pass a tax cut and you're going to feel it. Like, let's, for instance, talk about no tax on tips. Donald Trump goes to Vegas to kind of do a victory lap, so to speak. Do you know that a Republican hasn't won Nevada since 2004? It'd been 20 years since a Republican was able. I heard that on Fox this morning. I didn't realize that. Nevada is kind of a cherry on top. You know, when we think about Donald Trump winning 7 out of 7 swing states, especially with the way Nevada does their elections, they have mail-in votes. The ballot is mailed out to every voter. So you have valid ballots just sent out everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Eek. Donald Trump still wins. No tax on tips. The story on the campaign trail was that the no tax on tips idea came from them visiting Vegas, and a conversation with a server materialized into this. And now he's on the other side of the election in Las Vegas, championing the victory, talking about no tax on tips in Las Vegas, and then he walks out onto the casino floor and is like, hey guys, and then they start chanting USA.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wild time to be alive.
There are things that they are doing that are new. No tax on tips is one of them. And I'm speaking economically, of course, they're doing a lot new. But economically, another one, J.D. Vance said it last week, expanding the child tax credit. So some of these things will affect us personally, and we will feel them. But more than that, you're right. It's an extension of what already exists that we've already experienced that's been good for the average person making a little bit more money, keeping a little bit more money. But I'm excited about the future of the country. And I know it's not so personal, but we've got to get spending under control, and that is a priority of the administration. So while that may not seem exciting to everybody, I'm excited about that.
Did you ever have to work for tips?
Heck yeah, I did. Golf course.
I'm always here if you need a tip.
I know that. I mean, I my favorite is, though, when I solicit for mm-hmm. them, because when they're unsolicited...
Did you ever actually work for them?
I don't ever really actually work, period. But when I was there, yeah, I'd turn on the charm.
Have you ever worked harder to look like you were working than actually just working?
Yes. Yeah, I would say that's most of the time.
Blink twice if you're doing it right now.
I can't do that because I'm on the camera. But I'll give you a couple tips, by the way, just mm-hmm. since we're talking about tips. Mm-hmm. One way to make yourself look busy is...
Here we go.
Is if you're ever like just kind of walking around and you don't have anything to do. I'm not saying I do that.
Carry papers.
But if you do, yeah, I'll carry papers. Carry papers and walk kind of fast. Makes it look like...
Should you shuffle the papers?
In a hurry. No, but you could have a couple of them. And
should you
like,
take them like by the earmark and just say like... Mm.
Oh, you don't have to always look at the papers. The papers are a prop. You don't have to pretend that you're looking at them. But you do have to hold them mm-hmm. because then it looks like, well, he must be en route to something.
Yeah. This information was here.
Right.
And it needs to get to there.
Yeah.
But with the right person.
Right. And then if you add a little speed to that.
I love that this is in the Steve Moore segment. Go on.
Yeah. So that's one way to do it. Another way is just to, a lot of finger guns. Like you see somebody you haven't seen, hey, you know, boom, boom, boom. What have you been up to? How's your weekend? You know, and it feels like networking, but really you're not doing anything.
You big finger gun guy in the bathroom?
Not in the bathroom so much.
Urinal to urinal. Hey.
No, I can tell you.
I've never been. I don't know how it works in there.
That there's not a lot of talking in the bathroom.
Could be a pioneer.
Change things?
Yeah, go give it a shot.
Don't do that.
So to speak.
Don't do that. Please.
I go in there and I'll shoot my shot. And I'll make it worthwhile.
You can't even take yourself seriously.
You know, another way to really waste time? Get on there. Have somebody come on who's reputable and really like... drill down, talk about the way the economy is going to change, and then be like, I'll be the guy that comes on after that guy.
Make the first guy look even better.
Yeah. That's your job, Ryan. Make everybody else look better.
We should consider that.
That should be a position on the radio.
I feel like now's not even the time to talk about our scholarship.
We've got just enough time if you want to.
I don't know what this means. Take it for what you will. I went to a Lutheran school. Ryan did not.
But you, oh my gosh, donations just jumped.
Yeah. We made our goal.
What? Amazing.
It's for the future.
Yeah, people in the 80s were like, the future will be fine. Now they've learned their lesson.
Yeah.
And I'm a part of that. I'm proud to be a part
LisaSTL.org/Annie.
L-E-S-A, Lisa, STL.org/Annie.
I talked about it at church yesterday. And I walked out of church with $750 of donations.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah. That was so great. I go to a small little church with incredibly generous people. We're a very blessed little church. We don't have a school attached to our church. So when most Lutheran schools, I was going to say all, but there are some that are maybe joined to multiple churches. But most Lutheran schools are considered a ministry of the church that they're attached to. Most Lutheran schools, you know, when I talk about how it's affordable, every Lutheran school can have its own unique way of funding. Some Lutheran schools, you'll go and you just, what's the cost to educate? That's what you pay. There are some Lutheran schools that you go to and the church funds the entire education of the child, which is wild. And then there are other various things that go in between. I send my kids to a Lutheran school where I'm not a member of that specific church that's attached to it. I'm a member of a different Lutheran church. Same thing. We go to church there every once in a while. But it's one of the things that I appreciate the most about a Lutheran education. And I say Lutheran because that's the kind of school it is, but you don't have to be Lutheran. I went to school with Baptists, Catholics, Presbyterians, Pentecostals, people who consider themselves non-denominational. In the 90s, it was mostly like Baptists that had kind of gone a little bit away from the core Baptist and became a little more non-denominational. I went to school with people who didn't have a church or a specific faith. And the climate that I was raised in the 90s, which is the same time, it's so different today than it was in the 90s. My husband didn't go to a Lutheran school and didn't know anything about them really until not in a firsthand basis. I think he went to a Lutheran preschool, but when you're that little, it's preschool's preschool. But just the access to opportunity that you get when you attend this smaller school where there's a family atmosphere. I had a friend message me this weekend who attended an open house at one of the Lutheran schools, and she's like, it was so charming. Everything about it, just it, like she's going to work really hard on making it possible for her family. And you get the opportunity to send your turn your child over, because when you send your kids to school, for the most part, I know your wife is at the same school your kids are, but for the most part, you're turning them over.
Mm-hmm.
And the environment that you are in when you're in a Lutheran school environment, there is a definitive understanding of what is right and what is wrong. And there is also the element of forgiveness, which you don't get at all in a public school, because you can't really go that far. You could maybe have some sort of atonement or an apology or something like that, but it's not required. And I am very skeptical about, you could go to public school to public school to public school. Definitive right and wrong is not as definitive for me as I want it to be for my children to be raised in. These are the impressionable years. And I need to be hand in hand with my children's educators to know that they are being forged in what is good and right, and also, for me, biblical. And a Lutheran school makes that possible for them. And I'm hoping that I can partner with you to make that possible for another child here in the area. And if you've got $25 to donate, if you want to, like I always say, move the decimal however you need to, as generous as you can be, as God has blessed you, if a $5 donation is what you can do, it is a worthy donation. We can talk about the two pennies, the woman with the two pennies. LESASTL.org/Annie. LESASTL.org/Annie. Come help support us. Be a part of this. And if we get to $15,000, it's something that we can do in perpetuity and get that as an endowment. Let's take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show around the corner. Let's discuss this. How much do you want to see RFK Jr. reform our health system? Not at all? Some reform or complete reform? Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go there. Give us your vote. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you think. Like Janine said, some, but by some, I mean a great deal. I just don't think revamping everything is good, speaking as someone working in healthcare for 35 years. You agree with Janine? Let us know. We'll be right back. I'm in love with you. Have you seen this video of Selena Gomez crying?
Yes. Yes, I have. Ethan showed it to me.
Do I play it?
Yes.
I do?
You have to. You wouldn't know it was her.
Well, she just sounds like every other lib on that. There's not ever been a moment in my lifetime when I have been so distraught that I was like, people need to see. I've been mad, and I've been in a position before where I think to myself, oh, I'm going in on this one. It's going hard. I also have a radio show. So maybe if I didn't have a radio show, there'd be a part of me that would be really distraught about things. Maybe I'd be the person who would go to social media to like let it fly. But it wouldn't be me crying like a blithering buffoon without really saying anything. Like, the whole point of these videos is really more about just, I'm really sad. I'm a mess over this. To me, it's I don't understand the productivity of doing something like what Selena Gomez did. I'm just going to play it straight off Twitter. Oh, gosh. I hate listening to people cry like this.
I'm so sorry. So many people are getting attacked. Children. I don't understand. I'm so sorry. I wish I could do something, but I can't. I don't know what to do. I'll try everything I promise.
I'll try everything I promise. She's in her living room or something. She's a mess. She's very sad. She doesn't know what to do. Selena Gomez, there's nothing else you can do, because America voted for exactly what Donald Trump is doing right now. You lost. You're sad that you lost. She's talking about the children. Now, listen, I'm not saying that there isn't going to be a time here where it's going to look pretty sad. I think that it's very possible that what, you know, Tom Holman has said very openly, like, if families don't want to be separated, they should all leave together. They can go together. Now, that's kind of cold and that's kind of heartless, but it's also the only way to go about fixing the mess that the Democrats have made at the southern border. That's the only way. And I understand that you're mad about it. I understand that you don't think that this is something that it looks sad. It feels icky. But what is the alternative? The alternative is unsustainable, and it's not American to just open your borders. And Tom Holman has said repeatedly, he has said over and over and over again, there is no country in the world, or there's no country in the world where you can just show up and stay long enough and have babies, come in illegally, have babies, and those countries are like, you can stay here forever. You're a citizen. Have the whole schmo. That doesn't happen. And even if it did, that wouldn't preclude that it should happen here. Selena Gomez is incredibly uninformed, and I do feel for her in the sense that her lack of understanding and grasp on the situation is causing her distress. I don't really want anybody to be distressed over this, but I'm also not going to see her whimpering. She's deleted the video. I'm not going to watch her whimper over this video and go, well, she makes a point here that completely changes my mind on the subject of the matter. Just because you're sad, just because your emotions are strong on something, doesn't mean the thing that happened needs to be completely changed so that you're not sad about it anymore. So this is Sandra Smith has Tom Holman on her show this afternoon, and I'm seeing this video, I'm seeing her face. I didn't even know it was Selena Gomez because she's so upset. I'm seeing her face on X, and I'm thinking to myself, who is this? But I'm seeing it over and over and over again. And then I scroll across a video where now Tom Holman is on Sandra Smith's show on Fox News, and they are talking about Selena Gomez.
I don't know if you've had a chance to see a video that has been going viral over the past hour or so. We're still working to clear it and show it. In fact, the Hollywood celebrity who posted it has now deleted it, I think because probably she faced a lot of backlash for it, noting even the New York Times and Fox News polls show that a majority of American respondents are in favor of deportations of criminals and gang members. She posted a video sobbing. She was crying in it. She said, all my people are getting attacked with the picture of a Mexican flag. Again, she has now taken that down. But what do you say to those who are out there saying that these are everyday people, these are families that are being attacked and dragged out of their homes? How do you respond to that?
I don't think we arrested any families. We've arrested public safety threats and national security threats, bottom line. And look, President Trump won the election on this one issue, securing our border and saving lives. This, what happened on our southern border last 4 years, is the biggest national security threat this country's seen, at least in my lifetime, because we got over 2 million known gotaways. We've got a 600% increase in sex trafficking. We got a record number of terrorists crossing the border on the terrorist watch list. We have 250,000 Americans dying from fentanyl coming across the open border. We're going to do this job. And we're going to enforce the laws of this country. If they don't like it, then go to Congress and change the law. We're going to do this operational apology. We're going to make our community safer. We're going to save. Once we lock that border on continuous operation, you're going to see fentanyl deaths decrease, illegal alien crime decrease, sex trafficking decrease. It's just all for the good of this nation, and we're going to keep going.
No apologies, he says there. So I am so appreciative of the entire Trump's administration's willingness to be out front and answer to people, not just, we're the president, we won the presidency, our administration gets to do whatever we want. Oh, you've got a challenge to that? Selena Gomez is on social media crying about this. She's sad about it. I do have a heart for the emotion she's feeling, specifically if she doesn't completely understand the situation that's going on right now. Maybe she does, maybe she doesn't. But for Tom Holman to be on Fox News after being out with the ICE agents, DEA agents, ATF, he listed in this thing when he was with Dr. Phil, he's like, we've got every agency out here. Because they're going after bad people, criminals. And when I say criminals, I mean, yeah, they came here illegally, but they're also committing crimes while they're here. These are dangerous people. They need the best of the best to go root them out of our society, of our culture, and send them back to where they came from, make them be somebody else's problem, not Joe Biden's America anymore, so they don't need to be our problem here anymore. For him to be out there and to respond in the way of, we're going to keep doing this, and you know why? Because it's what's compassionate and right for the American people. You want to talk about fentanyl. You want to talk about human trafficking, drug trafficking, everything that is going on in this country because of the open border policy that we had. We won the election. We're going to keep doing this, and we make no apologies. I like it.
To live in the bubble that you have got to be in, that Selena Gomez is apparently in. We've had a Trump administration for 1 week that has gone after criminal illegal aliens. She gets on Twitter or wherever she posted this and says the Trump administration is attacking children. What world are you living in that you think that that's happening or true? Where are you receiving your news?
Patriot Paul says Selena Gomez probably only watches MSDNC and The View and lives in a Hollyweird bubble of leftists. Or maybe she just watches TikTok. Mm-hmm. Or maybe someone just told her something and she went with it.
But that's the point, is that if that's the news that you think is happening, then you are misinformed. And unfortunately, you're working yourself up into an emotional frenzy that you don't need to be in. And it's really unfortunate to watch this because she's an influencer. Now, this may backfire, actually, because so many people are talking about it.
Then she's already deleted the video. So yeah. For whatever particular reason, I really feel like when she's on there and she's like, the children. No, Selena.
No.
No. And and I'm saying this as somebody who believes that if you're here illegally, we have the right to say you have to go home to your
yes.
home. And I probably as a conservative have a bigger heart for this issue than I think most conservatives would. And I also think that as a taxpayer and as a citizen, my compassion is probably greater than it would be if I were serving in an elected position. I think that my elected position, especially looking at whatever the 70-80% of people who are like, you have to leave. You came here legally, you have to leave. That my reflection as an elected official would probably be more stringent than my heart on this issue as just a taxpaying citizen, because I understand that it's complicated. And I think that was influenced by my actual traveling to McAllen, Texas, to seeing the border, to sitting in Catholic Charities, which I understand what Catholic Charities is, folks. I get it. I understand what they were doing. I saw it firsthand, but I sat there and I colored pictures with these little children who had no English skills whatsoever, but they saw me and they would come. I sat down at this table next to them and they just wanted to color with me. And the truth was, is they had no idea what was coming next. I have no idea what they have been through. I don't know how they got in. I don't know where they are going. I don't know where they are right now, but they're real kids. They're children. And I can look at those children and as a mother, I can't look at them and not think like, would my child be able to sustain with this kid? No way. No way. My child is blessed winning the lottery to be born in the United States of America. And I'm grateful for that. But it's also worth preservation and protection. And there's a way to bring people into this country. And shirking those systems that we have set up is not the way to do it. You either have systems or you don't. And unfortunately, one of the reasons why that type of emotion is warranted towards Joe Biden and the Democrats who have said, come. Joe Biden said, come. He told people in the Democratic primary to come. And you hear this all the time. How many times do the Democrats wash away every ounce of shame that they should have on this issue to say, this country was built with immigrants? It's not that simple, and you know it. You're not as stupid as you're pretending to be on that issue. And neither am I. You need to understand that while we are a nation built on immigrants, the people and the country that we've built with those people, you can't throw the door open and just let everybody come in, come hell or high water, without any sort of systems in place. Do you remember when your children weren't able to go to school because COVID? Do you remember when you weren't allowed to go into Walmart without a mask? Do you remember when they told you what you could and couldn't do? They put all of those restrictions on you as a citizen of this country, but they let everybody come in through the southern border with no restrictions whatsoever. And if you even blink wrong at it, they call you a name. Selective appropriation of rules and regulations. And it's all, the end game is always what's best for their political party. And guess what? It wasn't. It's what cost you the election. And I'm sorry, Selena. I truly am. The truth of the matter is, we have to get our country back. And then maybe we reform our immigration system, and maybe we make it so that people who want to come here, build a life here, respect our country, respect our laws. Maybe we create a system where that is simpler or quicker to do. But we can't just throw everything away that where we are right now. You can't do that.
It's not wrong to look at this through the eyes of an illegal immigrant. It's not wrong to ask people to do that. But everybody around this issue is asking each other, well, why don't you look at it through the eyes of everybody? Look at it through the eyes of an illegal immigrant. Would you come to this country to make your life better? Yeah, you probably would. I would if I were.
Heck yeah, I would.
Heck yes, I would.
I'd steal a loaf of bread to feed my family.
But don't just stop there. And this is where the left stops. They say, look at it through the eyes of an illegal immigrant. And that's it. That's when they stop. No, there's more people here. Look at it through the eyes of a taxpayer in New York. Look at it through the eyes of a business owner who's dealing with so many people you don't even know what to do with. Look at it through the eyes of the mayor of New York City. Look at it through the eyes of a teacher who has suddenly had an influx of people who don't speak the language, and you have them in your class. What are you supposed to do? Look at it through the eyes of a legal immigrant who went through the process. Look at it through the eyes of multiple people. Don't just stop with one. That's all we're asking. And yes, we will look at it through the eyes of an illegal immigrant, because that's also fair. But realize how many other people are being impacted by that decision.
Or the parent who's lost their child because they made one bad choice and it had fentanyl in it and it killed him in their bedroom. And they had no idea that this was taking place. That has to stop. I am so heartened by the commitment, unfettered commitment, that Tom Homan has to take out this sort of trash that we have in our country right now with these criminals, and to constantly go back to what, when he pushes back with Sandra Smith there and he's talking about the hardened criminals that they're removing right now, that he calls them for what it is and he's willing to go in with his people and get them out. When we get to the point where these aren't people who have come here and committed crimes and have no respect for anything, if we're talking about the people who came here to provide a better life for their family, those people do exist. That's going to be a different story, but it's still potentially going to need the same result. I'm a big fan of creating a separate entry to the country where if you self-deport right now, you get put into a queue that doesn't exist in front of people who are doing the system right. But if you're willing to leave and save us the time and the money and the danger, if you're willing to self-deport, I think you should get an asterisk next to your name with the ability to come back in. If you don't self-deport, I don't think you get to come back in. Put it on them. You want to be here? Let's make it so that you can be here. Not before other people who chose to do it the right way the first time, but let's figure out a way to make it for the people who really want to live here without having to live in shadows, without having to live in fear. Let's make a way for them to come back into this country the right way, the above board way, and you have to come find law enforcement to start that process. If you don't, then that's it. That would be an interesting situation to see how many people would say, I'll take you up on that.
I'm encouraged that I think that we have an administration right now and really compassionate Republicans who are willing to listen to those kind of arguments and say, look, this is a problem we've never really dealt with before. We're going to have solutions we've never dealt with before. So let's hear them.
Andy, I think the people that would take you up on that offer are the kind of people that you would actually want in the country. They actually are the people that want to be here. And so they're like, wait. If I do this, then I can come back in and have legal status. I'm in. Let's do that. And I think that's the kind of people that we would want.
And it doesn't have to be citizenship. It could just be legal. It could be a status where you can live here, work here, pay taxes here. Basically, everything the left says that these people are doing, but do it the right way. We'll see. I trust Donald Trump on this issue, and I trust that he will follow through on it. And right now, while they are taking out these criminals, no tears from me. None. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
If a nominee acts like a complete meathead or starts screaming like he or she's part of a prison riot, you know, people are going to say, whoa, we need to take a second look. But short of that, I think most, if not all, will be confirmed. The one who's most on the bubble, as you know as well as I do, is Tulsi Gabbard.
Senator Kennedy talking about Tulsi Gabbard as a nominee in Trump's cabinet. We know that RFK Jr., his hearing is set for this week as well. And our YouTube live chat poll for today, how much do you want to see RFK Jr. reform our health system? You've got three options: not at all, some reform, or complete reform. And we're interested in what you have to think about this. Jackie said complete reform. We are sicker and fatter than ever, and our life expectancy numbers are dropping. We need to restore quality of life. And then she lists some different ways to do that. Erica says complete reform. Our food supply is full of chemicals that are banned in other countries. The ultra-processed foods are leading to obesity and chronic health conditions. Ryan, do you have a strong feeling on this poll today?
I do, because of the role that he'd be playing. I'm actually some reform, because I think that there are things that he can do as Secretary of Health and Human Services that should be done. A lot of them are people listing right there, you know, with changing the way food, putting pressure on pharma. That's all stuff that you can do from the power of a position like that. There are things about Obamacare and about insurance that I would like to see change in the United States that he actually is not in charge of. So I would say, while I would love to see big, big reform across all health care, with his appointment specifically, I would like to see some reform.
Kurt says a cautious some reform. It will depend on what reforms are proposed. If I'm not being clear, remember, Obama wanted to reform health care. Brad, what do you think?
I think right now in the United States, we have something called sick care. We don't actually have we don't treat people to give them a cure. We treat people to treat people. We don't have cures. We have treatments, that sort of thing. So whenever I look at this poll, I really think that we need an overhaul of the thinking about how we go about healthcare. And I think that means that we might need a complete reform. So that's the way I'm going to vote in this poll. I don't necessarily think that we have to throw everything out, but I think that we need a change in mindset. When we had Dr. McCary on several weeks ago, he kind of pointed this out. We just need to rethink the way we think about healthcare in the United States. And I think that's why we need complete reform of the healthcare system.
I would say some reform. I'm always worried about when the government shows up and is like, I'm going to fix everything. But a lot of what Donald Trump can do as the president is he can fix a lot of things by undoing quite a lot of regulation. Granted, as long as it's through executive orders and from the president, that can all be undone with the next guy or girl who gets into office. I need more information. I need more proof that what RFK Jr.'s plans are what's best for everybody, because I do believe we treat symptoms, not sources of diseases. I really want Jillian Michaels to come on this show, because she talks about this stuff and has been talking about this stuff for so long. I watched Jillian Michaels on The Biggest Loser back in the day. I don't know, would they be like 15, 20 years ago? And I watched her train people, and I always appreciated how she was so straight to the point in a time where there's a lot of soft out there. There's a lot of people who are trying to, you know, feelings were big. And if you spend a lot of time, you gotta address your feelings, especially if you're talking to people who are significantly overweight on a TV show. There's definitely going to be underlying reasons why people carry as much weight as they do. But she was never willing to set aside the facts of, you know, for instance, like, if you, I know you want to feel better about yourself, I know that you want to hit a certain number on a scale or hit a certain dress size, but if you don't lose 200 pounds, you were going to die of heart disease. You were going to die of diabetes. She would say these things in such a way that cut through to me as a viewer, like, there are some harsh realities that need to be discussed without having you. It's not loving and caring to talk to someone about their feelings if talking about their feelings doesn't get them where they need to be to actually be healthy again. And, you know, from an analogy standpoint, it's kind of similar to the situation we have right now with our lack of border security, closed borders, people in here. Like, some of the things that we have to do to secure our country are going to be hard, difficult conversations to have. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be painful. It's not going to look pretty. But at the end, it will make us stronger and healthier as a nation. And you have to be willing to face hard truths, which is something that, like, this whole I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay thing, your victimhood is your strength. That's all crap. It's all crap. I cannot raise my children in a world where they think the weakest things that they have, the weakest parts of them, are going to be the things that are their biggest strengths. No, that's not how it works. The number one thing you can do as a parent is help your children to learn how to live independently of anything and anybody, especially yourself as a parent. It's the cruelest part of parenting. Your whole purpose is to make sure that your children don't need you anymore at the right time. And if you are in a position to do that, you have to be willing to say, this is the real world. This is reality. And that your kids are like, this sucks. That's not fair. And you're like, now you're getting it. That's exactly right. It sucks. What are you going to do about it? You going to mope? You going to cry? You going to start, you know, complaining to people? Because they don't care either. They're living in the same reality that you are in, that I'm trying to get you to be in, where, yes, it sucks. Now, if you want to choose to sit and wallow in it, you can join the rest of the people who are wallowing. You want to get ahead? Figure out where your weaknesses are. Figure out where the world's weaknesses are. Come up with a solution for you and get ahead. That is the reality that we get to live in once again in this country. I'm so glad we're doing it. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be pretty, but it's going to be good for the country in the long run in so many different ways. I'm some reform. I'm like persuadable on complete reform, just not there yet. What are you? Go to the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. Let's talk to Scott Warman next. Don't go away.